In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, let us join this morning in thanksgiving and prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come before your holy face with humble and thankful hearts for all the blessings that you have granted unto us, all that you have given for this life, our family and friends, dear escorts on this way that leads to heaven. Thank you for providing for us everything that we need in this life. You have well taken care of us. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, that in him you prepared for us righteousness that is acceptable before you and which we can own by faith. We thank you that from your congregation, the gospel of Jesus and his kingdom is proclaimed, calling people from this world into repentance and into believing their sins forgiven so that they can be children of God. We thank you that this same gospel cleanses our hearts and gives us power to continue traveling together in your sheepfold toward that eternal home where we can finally say that sin doesn't bother us anymore because it doesn't have power for us, toward us. But for this life, we thank you for providing us everything that we need and sustaining us in living faith. Thank you that today, if you so will, together with our brothers and sisters in living faith, we can come to your table to receive body and blood of Jesus to nourish our undying souls. Allow us to be here together this morning and allow your Spirit to touch our hearts in such a way that we would be strengthened in our way, faith, and if there is one who is yet lacking faith, that he or she might also receive that grace of repentance. Jesus, you have said that where two or three are gathered in your name, you are with them, and we are now more than two and three. And we ask that through your Holy Spirit, you are with us. And we pray to you, Holy Spirit, carry the voice of the Good Shepherd to us. Allow us to accept that and to hear that. We ask for service blessings. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters, I would like to bring you greetings from your fellow travelers in Elk River congregation. Also greetings from my dear wife. She's at mother's camp right now, so she couldn't come, but I miss her, and maybe you miss her too. Maybe next time we can be here together. Today is Sunday of the Good Shepherd, and we will turn to the Word of God in the Old Testament, probably one of the most familiar portions of the Bible, found in the book of Psalms, chapter 23, and we will read and study it in Jesus' name. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. There are some of you little boys and girls who have come to services. I'm glad to see you here. When I was a little boy, I grew up in a farm, a small family farm. And during the winter time, the cattle stayed inside the barn. But then when spring came, and right about this time, we would be busy building fences for the cattle. And then eventually, when that time came that it was warm enough in cold northern part of Finland, it was time to let the cows loose into the pastures. And we had made sure that the fences were good and they were strong, and later on we had some electric fences and they did a pretty good job. We had to contain cows. And so we released them from the barn and we chased them a little bit too, so that they would go into the pastures. And what happened? They were so excited. Sometimes they ran right into the fence and broke it, and we had to chase them back. The Bible text that we read this morning is a little different type of farming. Here we see a picture this brings us to the upper grounds of Israel, where farming of sheep was a very big part of their livelihood. And this is an Old Testament psalm in the name of David, I believe written by him. And it speaks of shepherding. But still in Jesus' time, shepherding sheep was a big livelihood, and it was very well known to the people of that area and of that time. Jesus speaks in the according to the Gospel of John in chapter 10 of such a moment when the morning breaks in that area. And what happens is shepherd walks toward the sheepfold. And sheepfold was a place where kind of like we could have a barn today where the sheep were kept through the night. And then Jesus speaks of that when shepherd goes there, he calls sheep by name. And because Jesus knows the names of believers. And when the shepherd calls them by name, and they hear the voice of the shepherd, they listen and they follow him out of that sheepfold door. And so what happens then, the shepherd takes the sheep, his own sheep, and he walks before them. And he speaks to them. When Martin Luther speaks on this, he points out, as we understand, as we have heard in the teaching of God's congregation, that the voice of Jesus is not that voice of the law, but it is the voice of the gospel. And Jesus keeps on speaking to his sheep, and what do the sheep do? They follow him. Because they know that if they don't listen to the shepherd's voice and follow him, they will go into the wilderness. And there in the wilderness, there's no nourishment, but lots of dangerous animals that can come and capture and kill and eat. A poor little sheep who is defenseless. Now, David speaks of his own personal relationship with God. He was a king, a mighty warrior, a military leader, a general such that it is amazing what they were able to do. And yet, as we remember, and boys and girls remember too, that David battled Goliath. He had great enemies, but yet he was victorious by the power of God. And he's a mighty king, rich and powerful man. And yet, when he speaks that I shall not want, or I'm not lacking anything. Is he speaking of his riches? Is he speaking of his position? No, he's speaking that because Jesus, because the Lord is my shepherd, and I can be his sheep, I don't lack anything. Personal faith creates such trust in the care of God that we can feel. Or do we feel? How is it, my brother and sister, this morning? Do we lack many things? In this world, we are so attached to temporal and riches and things that please to our flesh. Many things are much needed, and God, through His grace, provides them and gives us sustenance and what we need. But yet, there is a danger, and that is also what is taught in society, that we should never be content. Because if we began to be content, we do not know how to strive for more. God's word teaches us to be diligent in our duties, and young children, when you study and when you go to work, that is the right teaching, to be diligent and with those gifts that God has given to you, put them into good use for your sake and for the sake of your neighbors and family. But it can creep into a mind of a child of God too that I could never be content with my life. It's sometimes said that jealousy is something that not be able to see what God has given to my life. And then contentment would be the opposite of that, being able to see that how God has separated me and how God has blessed my life. Contentment and godliness is a great gain, says Apostle Paul. This psalm text this morning, in a very practical sense, teaches us that we could be content in our lot in life. But we can be content in, especially for that reason, that the Lord is my shepherd. Not that He's just somebody else's shepherd, that He's a shepherd in general, but that He is my shepherd. We can, if we were to read Bible, we could see many things about David's life. And he had been a shepherd. And he would know well what that work of a shepherd was. It was not an easy duty. What does David speak of when he speaks of his experience? He speaks that he had battled with a bear and with a lion, I believe. Shepherd had work to do. And what shepherd also needed to do was when he would take the sheep from their nightly rest and go out into the wilderness. And sometimes the travel was long. Sometimes had to go for a long way through the valleys and dry places. Shepherd's thought was, I need to bring my sheep to the green pastures and by water. Here David gives us a beautiful picture, and we can picture that before our eyes, that there is a shepherd and a flock of sheep walking behind him, and they have come a long way, and they are beginning to be tired, and shepherd knows where to bring them. He has scouted the terrain, and now they come to a place where green grass grows. There is water that is plentiful. That's why it is still here. It's so deep that not like little rivers that go fast, a little deeper body of water, it doesn't flow quite so fast. It means that there's plenty of water. And David speaks that he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. There a shepherd can rest. There a shepherd can find sustenance, eat of the grass for the hunger, and go to the water for a drink. I was reading what Luther was speaking and writing about this, and if there is time, I think there is time. He speaks on this and he writes that the prophet, however, he calls the psalm writer prophet. The prophet, however, calls God's people and the Holy Christian Church a green pasture, for it is God's pleasure ground, decorated and adorned with all kinds of spiritual gifts. He gives us a picture of that green, the whole scenery where children of God can gather. God's pleasure ground, the Holy Christian Church, God's living congregation. It's in such a scenery familiar to us when we can be together with our brothers and sisters in fellowship of faith. And then he continues on, and the pasture, however, or the grass in it, is God's word with which our consciences are strengthened and restored. Into this green pasture, our Lord God gathers his sheep, feeds them in it with precious grass, and restores them with fresh water. That is, he commits to the Holy Christian Church the office of a shepherd, entrusts and gives to it the Holy Gospel and the sacraments, so that by means of these it may care for and watch over his sheep, and so that these sheep may be richly provided with instruction, comfort, strength, and protection against all evil. But those who preach the law of Moses or the ordinances of men do not feed the sheep in a green pasture, but in the desert, where they famish and lead them to foul, smelly water, which will cause them to decay and die. Dear brothers and sisters, when we are there in the green pastures, when we are in the care of God's congregation, we are in the care of Jesus. That is where Jesus wants to bring us, and that's where he wants to feed us and nourish us. Jesus is the King of his kingdom, and he has sent his Holy Spirit to lead and guide the congregation. And so we can be happy to be led by God's Holy Spirit, to be nourished, to be fed, to be restored in good places where God's word abundantly nourishes us. Apostle Paul writes, or was it Peter who writes and exhorts that may the word of God dwell richly in your midst. And then Luther continues on this, that by means of the allegory of the green pasture, however, the prophet wants to indicate the great abundance and the riches of the Holy Gospel and of the knowledge of Christ among the believers. For just as the grass in a green pasture stands very thick and full and grows more and more, so it is with the believers. They not only have God's word richly, but the more they use and apply it, the more it increases and grows among them. Therefore, the psalmist expresses himself very plainly. He does not say, he leads me once or often in a green pasture, but He leads me in them without ceasing, so that amid the grass and in the pasture I may lie, rest and dwell securely, and never suffer hunger or any other want." Luther also speaks, and the Bible speaks, of the water that the sheep can drink there. Dear brothers and sisters, the Word of God nourishes us in many ways. Sometimes we have a need for direction in our life. Sometimes we need a comfort that the heaven is not that far, and that all this endeavor, it pays because of that great glory of heaven awaits. At the very core of the Word of God, and in the teaching and the proclamation of God's congregation, is something that is very familiar to us. You know, little boys and girls know it well. For such a hunger of soul, when a sin burdens on the conscience, not even two bowls of cereal is enough. No. But we have been able to be in such abundant pastures and such abundant waters that the call and yearning and hunger and thirst of a conscience is fed and nourished. Dear brothers and sisters, what helps in the pains of conscience is this, that we can humble ourselves and we can confess our sins and ask for forgiveness for our sins. There in the green pastures, we are being fed. This is language in pictures. But we know that you boys and girls have experienced when mom or dad have come and they have told you that yes, you can believe that all of your sins are forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. It has fed your soul. It has been nourished. It has been restored. And I don't know that it is any different for us adults, us who have found ourselves before the Word of God sinful. And so as the Good Shepherd has led us now to the green pastures and by the still waters, I want to bring to you my brother and sister who may be in doubts and temptations and hunger of soul, sin's burden on the conscience. I want to bring greetings from the heart of our Heavenly Father, that you can, just as you find yourself, uplift your heart. And you can believe that all of your sins are forgiven in Jesus' name and blood, and you can be of good cheer. Such a good shepherd we have, that he brings us to green pastures where the Word of God teaches us. Word of God gives us guidance and hope for this life, gives us answers, gives us direction. But also, affected by the Holy Spirit, gives us release from burdens of the conscience. And so we can be happy. No wonder that David also says that when the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I don't know how David experienced these matters, but we know that he was a believing man and he had the desire to go to the worship service of God, and there and elsewhere he could experience that Jesus was such a good shepherd that he brought him in the middle of the congregation to experience that indeed God is his shepherd. And then our psalm continues that when the sheep have been there at the pastures and eaten of that grass and drank of the water, they feel, as David says, that he restored my soul. I think you have experienced that in the gatherings of God's children and in different times of your life. But then the psalm continues, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And I have to say that for once I need to give a credit to the English translation of King James. Sometimes I like to read it in the Finnish. I think here the original meaning of the word in the at the time when I believe David wrote this in the King James language, it actually comes more clearly. That rather than just a right way, it speaks how the good shepherd Jesus leads and God leads us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And on that we could maybe discuss two things. It is indeed so that a child of God, when he has God's Holy Spirit in his or her heart, is a possessor of that righteousness that Jesus has prepared. And it is only through this that we can be acceptable to God. Every moment of our lifetime when we are in living faith, we can be happy about this, that although we are sinful, God regards us righteous and acceptable to him through faith that he has given unto us. And so we can follow and the paths of righteousness with that thought and heart that I am acceptable child of God. I think this gives great comfort to our child of God. That despite of what I am, what I have done, I can yet be acceptable because by faith I own Christ's righteousness. And what that means is kind of the same thing as when Jesus calls his sheep by name. He knows their name. Jesus has a book. He has a book of children of God, those who are in living faith. And it will be on the basis of that book that in the last judgment we will be judged. Those who are not in living faith, when they die, they will be judged by their deeds. And I don't think any of us want to be judged by our deeds or what is left undone. Children of God will be judged by this, that Jesus has paid for all of our sins. And so it is that as we have a desire to have our soul restored and battle against sin and ask for the gospel, and believe the gospel. It is for the reason that in our heart we could continue to keep that gift of living faith. All of our endeavor, any of our life choices, that's what they gear towards, so that we could keep that gift of living faith. And that endeavor and desire to endeavor is a fruit of that faith that has already begun in us. And to that faith, God gives us power. But then the other aspect about this Jesus and God leading us through the path, in the paths of righteousness, is this. That there is a Holy Spirit in our hearts. And we have been transformed from unbelief to faith and believing. And God gives us such a desire and such a heart to love God's righteousness, but also His righteous ways. We have a desire and love for that which God teaches us in His Word, and how the Holy Spirit reveals unto us. We have a desire then to do that which is right. I don't know that it is, for a believer, it's a conscious decision. But it is something that God through His Spirit affects in our hearts. Apostle Paul spoke of that, that there's a battle between the Spirit and the flesh. And I don't know that we would describe it any other way. We know in ourselves that good that I would wish to do, I don't do. And that evil that I wouldn't want to do, I do. But it's not me, but it is the sin that dwells in me. Our sin-corrupt flesh doesn't want to do according to God's righteousness. But the Holy Spirit in our heart teaches us otherwise. It teaches us to follow Jesus and His flock in the paths of righteousness. What might it mean today? I think we experience that there are many kinds of things that, for example, in our nature, I'm selfish. We are selfish by our sin-corrupt nature. But yet God's love in us constrains us to love God and our neighbor, to do what is best for our neighbor, to care for them and speak in the best way about them. There are lusts in our flesh that this society, and societies today very freely, because societies have gone away from the teachings of the Word of God. Societies teach us, and entertainment industry teaches us. Go and experience any lust of the flesh, whatever feels good to you. And yet, the Word of God teaches us, do not commit adultery and keep the marriage bed undefiled. In matters when we have something to tell and we have two options, do I tell the truth or do I tell something else, because it would be make life a little bit easier for me? Well, what will the flesh tell us, and what will God's Spirit tell us? When we can be Jesus' sheep, we desire to follow Him in the paths of righteousness and in ways that are correct in God's eyes. That is what the believing heart wants to do. Heart that gets corrupted and hardened doesn't care about it anymore. But heart that is tender, heart that desires to hear the voice of the Good Shepherd, wants to walk in the paths of righteousness. And God wants to lead us in those paths for His name's sake, because He is righteous and He hates sin. It's a good thing that He nevertheless loves a sinner and wants to care for us. And for a believer, this relationship with God is not such a relationship where we would be fearful of Him. We for sure respect Him, and we honor Him, and we glory Him. But yet, as the Bible teaches, we can call our Father Abba, dear Father. And so also the lover of our souls, Jesus, to us, to a child of God, is my personal shepherd. He is shepherd for everyone else too, every believer. And He wants to shepherd us in God's congregation in mutual love and unity. And yet we can call, as David calls, He is my shepherd. This psalm is one of the most familiar portions of Bible, and I think part of the reason for that is this, that it not only speaks of the beauty and ease of living there at the pasture and by the living waters, because human life is such that it is not always easy. And neither is a life of faith always easy. David continues, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Now the scenery changes from a beautiful sunny hillside of pasture with lots of water to a dark and cold place. Sun had gotten down. The green pastures are behind. What is ahead is a scary looking valley and a life, path of life that goes through it. But what can a child of God remember? We can remember as David remembered, "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me." The kings of that era and that time held a rod that showed their power. And they were also often considered a shepherd of the nation, and they had the shepherd stick. Such a picture does David give us of our good shepherd, Jesus Christ. Sometimes in our life we can go through the valley of shadow of death, and yet we can be comforted with this, that He still is with me. He has the rod. He is the king. And He has the stick. He is going to care for His sheep and battle against the enemy. And what does Jesus do? Jesus wants to bring everyone back into the sheepfold for the night's rest. He wants everyone to be gathered, to be in His sheepfold. Sometimes I have to say, I with my human mind have a foregone conclusion on somebody. Unbeknownst to me, Jesus has already brought the 99 into the sheepfold for a night's rest and in a secure place, and he goes and he walks and he goes to look for and he calls one. Such is our shepherd. He wants to everyone to hear his voice and call and gather, so that there is one shepherd and there is one sheepfold. The voice and the call is that of the gospel. And it is such a call that if one wants to hear and wants to believe it, they can believe what the gospel promises. Forgiveness of all sins, also including unbelief. Such a gentle shepherd we have. Bible gives us picture that he takes one who is out in the wilderness, lives in his arms, and he brings him into the sheepfold. We pray that Jesus continues to do this work. And we pray that us as his children, we could be for such a one a pasture, and we could be living water. After all, we are wells of that water that Jesus wants to feed to people. We are about to enter into the table of our Lord. And I have to say that I have come here sinful and tempted, and yet I want to go to the table of the Lord without any burden of conscience. And I want to ask dear brothers and sisters that, can you forgive all of my sins? I want to believe together with you. The table is prepared for us. We can so closely as holding and drinking, eating, experience that indeed he is here. He is with me. He is with us. And he wants to bring us home to heaven. We sheep can remain for a little moment here at the green pastures and by the living waters. You, my brother and sister, come to the table of the Lord, cleansed and free. You can uplift your heart and you can believe all of your sins forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. And you can be of good cheer. In Jesus' name and blood, be of good cheer. Come and be refreshed with the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And may this mutual meal of love also kindle in our heart love for other brothers and sisters in living faith, and make us feel that, make us experience that in this sheepfold we want to be, and in this sheepfold Jesus will one day bring us to heaven's home. In Jesus' name, Amen.